Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, March 31st, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend, and happy Easter to all that celebrate. It's a great day here in Atlanta, Georgia. The weather's great. There's kids running around outside, picking up painted eggs. Their families all seem happy. It's just a great day today, and I hope that everyone else is having a great Sunday as well. Once again, happy Easter to all that celebrate. I'll be celebrating Easter the only way that I know how, and that is to watch Mallrats, which I consider an Easter movie. And if you know, you know, but Mallrats is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I consider it to be Easter-themed. And then I'm also going to watch the Easter episode of South Park, which is one of my favorites. So that's how I'll be celebrating Easter today. I'll walk around outside a little bit, get a little bit of the good weather in while I can after I record this show. And then I'll hang out with my brother, and we'll watch Mallrats and watch some South Park and, you know, probably watch some pro wrestling as well and call it a happy Sunday for us. So, once again, whether you're religious, whether you're not, whatever your background is, all the same to me. You know what I mean? If you're a wrestling fan, you are good with me, and I appreciate y'all, as always, for listening to this show. Today's episode is going to be a little different because we have a lot of predictions and previews to get to. So I'm going to kind of rifle through the results this week, and then I will deep dive more on the predictions and the previews. And once I get through the list of topics here, you'll understand why, you know, why that is. So I will still, of course, elaborate on certain things, though, of course, throughout, you know, my results. So these are the topics for today's episode of The Weekender. We've got BLP at the Squared Circle Expo 2, the Squeakquel results. That included a main event match from Sean Ross Sapp. So I'll definitely give you my thoughts on that. We also have results for MLW War Chamber, and then spoilers for MLW War Chamber 2. That's a mouthful. So War Chamber results, and then War Chamber 2 spoilers. And I'll make sure to timestamp all the spoilers on today's episode in case y'all want to remain spoiler-free. So just keep a lookout on the description underneath the audio you're listening to. I'll make sure to put the timestamps there so you can skip around. Also got results for NXT Level Up. Got more spoilers for Ring of Honor. So we got spoilers from Wednesday night and last night that'll be airing on Honor Club. We'll get to all of those, and once again, I'll timestamp those. And then really the bulk of today's episode is going to be previewing the GCW Collective 2024. There's 11 shows, and most of the matches, I'll go over the matches that I know about, but I've got the majority of the matches that we'll be seeing this weekend at the Collective all listed here. So I'll give you as many matchups as I possibly can for those 11 shows. I'll give you some predictions throughout that as well. And I'm sure I'll deep dive on certain stuff throughout that too. And then, because I won't be here again until next Monday, we got WrestleMania between now and the next time you guys are going to hear me here on The Weekender. So I'm going to give you WrestleMania 40 predictions right here on today's Weekender as well. I will do even more detailed WrestleMania predictions over on the Spotlight on the main YouTube channel for Fightful on Thursday morning. It's going to be a big show Thursday morning for the Spotlight. So the plan is, of course, on the actual show, like the live show that we do Thursday morning from 8:30 a.m. Eastern through about 10 Eastern when I have to go into work for my shoot job. Me and Jeremy are live for that hour and a half, and then we air an interview. For those of you who don't watch the Spotlight, please check it out. I think you guys would really, really enjoy it because we highlight, you know, or spotlight, even more specifically, we spotlight WWE, AEW, other companies, like a lot of the stuff that we cover here on The Weekender and indies, similar to The Weekender. But we pick, you know, some topics from all those categories and we deep dive them. This upcoming Thursday will be a big show for a few reasons. So, one is, it'll be sponsored by WrestleRumble.com, who sponsors all of the episodes of the Spotlight that we do the week of the pay-per-views that they have contests for. So we'll be giving away free entries to WrestleRumble's WrestleMania Pick'em Contest, and the top prize for that, excuse me, let me look it up real quick. I'm not sure, I think it was, they were doing first, second, and third, I believe. Yes, they got first, second, and third for the WrestleMania Pick'em. First place is $1,000, second place, $500, third place, $500. So a total of $2,000 up on the line, and first place, like I just mentioned, gets $1,000 bucks. over at WrestleRumble.com. They don't even sponsor the Weekender, but I'm going to still give them a plug because I love Matt. I love that team over there. And those guys have been sponsoring me and helping me out with stuff since like 2017 or 2018, back when I started my own personal podcast. And they've rode with me, you know, over to the spotlight with Fightful and everything. So massive shout out to WrestleRumble.com. And I will be giving away some contest entries along with Jeremy Lambert this Thursday on the spotlight. Another giveaway we have on the spotlight this week. We'll be giving away a copy of Kyle Peterson's new book. It's the complete history of Jack's Classic Superstars. If you are a fan of action figures, even more specifically pro wrestling action figures, the book's incredible. I have a copy as well. I bought a signed copy from Kyle. I had him sign the cover of it, and he also sent me a signed bookmark, which is really cool. But it's a huge book. This thing is super thick, and it's like a $100 book. Right now, Amazon, I think, has it on sale for like $70. But me and Jeremy are giving away a free copy of that book this Thursday on the Spotlight. And all you have to do to enter is you have to go back to the Spotlight episode that we had Kyle Peterson and Jeremy Padour. They both were on. Jeremy Padour created the Jack's Classic Superstars line. He's currently the CBO of Jazzwares, who makes all the AEW figures. Also makes, you know, Squishmallows and Fortnite figures and Halo figures and Pokemon. I mean, Jazzwares is the real deal. So Jeremy Padour joined us along with Kyle Peterson. That was 2 weeks ago on the Spotlight. If you go to that episode on youtube.com/Fightful, find two episodes ago for the Spotlight, and just underneath the in the comment section on the YouTube video, just type Jack's Classic in the comment section. Anybody who did that is entered to potentially win this book, and also anybody who is in the live chat and put Jack's Classic. So it's, you know, you'll see the people there's the people that commented underneath the YouTube video, all of them are in, and then there's also a group of people that were commenting, you know, live during the live comment. So all of those names will be pooled together, and then we'll just pick one name on Thursday for the Spotlight. So two big giveaways. We're giving away your entry to potentially win $1,000 on WrestleRumble.com for WrestleMania. We're giving away basically a $100 book for you for free. And the guest that we're going to be interviewing this week, unless something falls through for some reason, which we will make sure to make this happen one way or another. The guest this week is Teal Rhodes, who is Cody Rhodes' sister. She has been on the show before. So obviously this is going to be a humongous week for her and her family and myself as a Cody crybaby. but I'm very much looking forward to this. She'll be on to talk about the revival of TCW, Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. She is promoting that, that company now and running that company along with QT Marshall, revived from Dusty Rhodes. And so Teal will be on there to talk about TCW. She'll be on there to talk about, they've got Dusty Rhodes Foundation stuff coming up for WrestleMania weekend. And then, of course, Cody Rhodes is wrestling and main eventing both nights of WrestleMania. And Teal's family has been heavily involved in the storyline, obviously, with Mama Rhodes. And she's obviously the daughter of Mama Rhodes, the sister of Cody Rhodes. So Teal's going to have a lot to say on the show the week of WrestleMania. So I'm very much looking forward to that. So big episode of the Spotlight for y'all. I hardly ever like promote it the Spotlight that heavily here on the show. But I just wanted to let y'all know if you listen to this show here on the Weekender, but you're not watching the Spotlight, that would be a great episode to start with, you know, and see if you like the show. So check it out this Thursday over on youtube.com/Fightful. That'll be live at 8:30 in the morning. And then we'll air the interview with Teal right around 10 a.m. I'll also be taking off work from my shoot job the Monday after WrestleMania so that I can record the Weekender for you guys. Also, so I can either celebrate or drown my sorrows, depending on the results of Cody Rhodes WrestleMania Night 2, which we'll get to in the predictions on this show. But I'll be taking that Monday off, so, you know, I can do my thing Sunday night, not have to worry about work on Monday, and then, once again, either celebrate or y'all will hear me right here on the Weekender before anyone else does. Unless maybe I jump on like maybe the Fightful post show or something, maybe right after WrestleMania, we'll see. Depends on what I'm doing and who I'm with. And if I'm crying or not, whether I'm crying from Cody winning or losing. We'll see how emotional things get. But that all said, I'll be taking that Monday off work. And then I will be taking the Thursday after WrestleMania off work so that that episode of the Spotlight, me and Jeremy can go as long as we need to. So no time constraints, don't have to work the shoot job. We'll just jump right in and we'll talk as long as we need to about WrestleMania and everything else that happens WrestleMania weekend. So that is all of the plugs and housekeeping and stuff going on with me right now, but all stuff that I think is really important to tell y'all right now. And also, if you want to win some free stuff, this is the time to do it. We're giving away a lot of free stuff right now on the Spotlight to you guys. So appreciate y'all for listening. Appreciate y'all for watching that show. And that all said, let's get into the first topic of today. It is results for Black Label Pro at the Squared Circle Expo 2. This was a co-promoted show between BLP and Squared Circle Expo, of course. And this was from March 29th, so 2 nights ago at the time of this recording. This would have been Friday night. This was in Indianapolis, Indiana. And there's a bunch of stuff going on at the Squared Circle Expo. Like, Dolph Ziggler wrestled Ultimo Dragon, for instance. And, you know, that's absolutely badass. You know, I'm Ultimo Dragon's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. When I was a kid growing up on WCW, my favorite cruiserweight was Ultimo Dragon, up to a point. There was other guys that I was became really big fans of. I was a huge Blitzkrieg fan, a guy who really gets forgotten. Then, of course, I love Rey Mysterio just like everyone else, but Ultimo Dragon was like my first favorite cruiserweight. And Chris Jericho also, but he was kind of like a hybrid between a cruiserweight and a heavyweight, but wrestled in the cruiserweight division, if that makes sense. Anyways, that all said, I don't have all of the Squared Circle Expo results in front of me right now, nor do I have the time to probably go through all of them. And my intro went a little long today, too, a little longer than I expected. So let's get through these results, and then we'll get into previews and predictions for everything going on. All right, so let's get right into the results here. This is BLP and, well, we'll call it BLP at Squared Circle Expo 2, the Squeakquel. Shout out to Mikey Blanton and the team involved in coming up with the name for that one. It's pretty funny, the Squeakquel. Show started off with the Squared Circle Expo, the SCX title on the line. Nick Nemeth defeats Matt Cardona to become the champion. Really good match. Ended with a distraction and Nemeth hitting a super kick for the 1-2-3. These guys have wrestled each other recently also in GCW. So it's been cool seeing these two guys who were, you know, such WWE guys going one-on-one on the indie scene and seeing what they can do and the reactions that the crowd gives to both those guys. So Nemeth becomes the SCX champion. And as I mentioned before, Nemeth wrestled Ultimo Dragon on the show, or like the next day, and retained the title there as well. After that, we had Dan the Dad and Effie over MXM, the team of Mansoor and Mason Madden. We had Myron Reed over Dex Royal. Alex Zane over Sky Blue. We had Kevin Koo and Latino's Most Wanted, the team of Cota Hernandez and Saban Gage, over Bang and Matthews, the team of August Matthews and Davey Bang, and Matt Mikowski in a six-person tag team match. We had Elijah over Mance Warner. Elijah is the former Elias. He gave Mance the old guitar necklace. You know, hit him over the head with a guitar, as you would expect. And I don't like seeing Mance Warner taking L's this close to the collective, but I get it. It's like Elijah, former WWE guy, but I don't know. That's just me personally. I was never a huge Elias fan, just for what it's worth. You know, this is what it is. And obviously, I'm a huge Mance Warner fan, and we'll talk more about him when we get to the collective. And then we had the BLP SCX Rumble match, where Rachel Armstrong defeats Adam Slade, Aaliyah James, BP4, Brittany Brooks, Brother Earth, Cole Radrick, Damon Real, Darren Fly, Davey Bang, Gaston LaRue, Hayden Backlund, J-Rod, Josh Crane, Levi Everett, Maggie Lee, Ming J. Lee, Nate Cobain, Paul Burchill, Paul Burchill. We had Percy Drews, Puff, Sean Ross Sapp, Sky Blue, Steve Kane, Swoggle, Trevor Outlaw, Trip Jordy, and Isaiah Brookside. A lot of talent, a lot of people are really liking that match, and a lot of up-and-comers. Huge for Rachel Armstrong to get that win. She's been on fire lately. Really ever since winning the Action Wrestling Future Showcase tournament over SCI weekend last year, I feel like she's really leveled up a lot since then. She's still very new and keeps getting better and better, but like, I feel like she's really starting to hit a stride. And the first person I remember telling me about Rachel Armstrong a while back was Mouse. And Mouse is the father of Billy Starks. And Mouse is also a pro wrestling photographer who got a nice up-close picture of Sean Rossap's face after his elimination, actually, on this show. But Mouse is a great gauge for talent because obviously he's the father of Billy. You know, obviously we know how great Billy Starks is, and he has an eye for talent. He knows how good Billy is and saw her progression, how she got there firsthand, and also was around all the wrestlers. So when he's giving people shout outs and telling me, hey, look out for this person or that person, like for instance, he told me that about Mance Warner. Mouse personally told me about Mance Warner years ago before he had really blown up. And I remember like thinking, okay, Mouse was totally right about him. And then, Mouse also told me about, Myron Reed. Like he was the one who was really like, you got to check out more Myron Reed. And of course, look how great Myron has become. So those are just two people, and Rachel Armstrong's in that list of people Mouse has recommended to me. So shout out to Rachel for getting this win. And also, of course, shout out to Sean Ross Sapp, who did a great job. Like, he's really smart in the way that, like, so I think probably a big part of the reason he does the thing where he's usually on the microphone making his way to the ring is because he's probably assuming that most of the crowd does not know who he is because of what happened whenever he made that run-in with Shaz McKenzie and, like, got no reaction a while back. It's way easier, even if you don't know who Sean is, like, you immediately figure it out or know he's some sort of interviewer or media personality because he comes down to the ring talking on the microphone. Now, it's a little different in the GCW crowd's a little bit more in the know, so he gets, like, instant heat for it. But, like, with, like, the whole Fightful Select pay $5 a month thing right here on this platform, like, you guys, appreciate y'all. And Sean will basically come out on a microphone and talk a whole bunch of trash, kind of establish his character, and then in the match it was really smart because he goes up and tries to interview Puff. Puff's balls hurt after getting hit in the nuts, and Sean's trying to record an interview with him right there live in the middle of the ring. Swoggle gives him a choke slam. To Sean's credit, he sells the choke slam beautifully. As you guys know, I talk about on the show all the time how Sawyer Rex choke slam always bothers me because she doesn't seem to lift people up in the air. But part of it is like, the opponent's got to help out too. Like, because I always give credit, like when she chokeslammed Matt Cardona, for instance, it looked incredible because Cardona got up there for her. But that's a whole other kind of conversation in itself to a degree. But the reason I bring this up is because Sean made a chokeslam that was given to him by somebody half of his size look legitimate, which is super difficult to do, actually. So I got to give Sean a lot of credit for that. The way he got eliminated was really funny. Because I don't know what he was thinking or how exactly he got turned backwards the way that he did. When he went backwards all over the top rope, it was really funny how he landed. And then he does this like slide down the entrance ramp. He did a really, really, really good job given like the short amount of time and that he was just doing basically comedy. And then, as I mentioned before, Mouse just slides up, casually walks up and, you know, takes a picture right in Sean's face after the elimination. So I'm always proud of Sean seeing him do this kind of stuff. He's had some really good matches too. Like, this was more of a comedy thing, but like when he wrestled Shaza, for instance, you could see like he's still got really crisp kicks. He can move around well. He's athletic. Like, he looks very competent in there, especially for a guy who doesn't do this hardly at all. So, and I know I'm kind of kissing his ass here. He's, you know, but we've worked together for over 5 years here at Fightful, but I mean, if he absolutely sucked, I would say it too, because this is also an independent wrestling podcast, and I'll tell you guys when things suck. I honestly think that Sean did a great job out there, and I'm always proud to be a part of Fightful whenever I see him involved in a wrestling match. So those are the results for BLP at the Squared Circle Expo 2. You can check that show out over on Triller TV Plus. I forgot to mention that earlier. BLP available over on Triller TV Plus. Also available on Triller TV Plus is MLW War Chamber. This show took place on Friday night as well, so this was on March 29th. This was from St. Petersburg, Florida, and it's in the Coliseum Arena. A big show for MLW, once again, as I mentioned, on Triller TV Plus. And then we got spoilers for stuff that they taped the same night. So I'll give you the results for the War Chamber event that has already aired, and then I'll give you a spoiler alert for War Chamber 2 spoilers. So starting off with War Chamber, these are the results. We've got MLW World Women's Featherweight Championship on the line. Jannai Kai defends and retains over Unagi Sayaka. We had AJ Francis over Alex Kane. Members of the Bumae Fight Club turned on Alex Kane and sided with AJ Francis in this one. But Alex Kane still does have Mr. Thomas having his back, as of at least right now. But AJ Francis kind of creating his own Bumae Fight Club. After that, we had Mads Cruel Kruger over Brian Brock in a squash match. We had Bad Dude Tito over Richard Adonis in a squash match. This one only went like 45 seconds. I'm a big fan of Richard Adonis, though, formerly known as Richard King. He's been a member, or a member, a, he was a member, I guess we'd call it, of Battle Slam. He was a regular there on those shows that I got to see a lot in Atlanta. But he was also a guest on the Spotlight a while back. So check out the interview with Richard King if you want to know more about Richard Adonis. Great looking guy, has a lot of talent, a lot of potential. Still waiting to really break through, but he's done some stuff in Impact and MLW recently. So I think he's a name that you'll be seeing more often. We had the New Japan Pro Wrestling World TV title on the line. Matt Riddle defends and retains over Fujita. We had the MLW World Middleweight title on the line. Mystico defends and retains over Angel De Oro. And the main event of the show, we had the War Chamber match, which was Cozy Max, a team of Kojima and Okamura, along with the Second Gear crew combination of Manders and Matthew Justice with Bel Alfonso. They defeat the World Titan Federation team of Davey Boy Smith Jr., Josh Bishop, Richard Holiday, and Filthy Tom Lawler with Saint Laurent in their corner. I loved the beginning of this was Matthew Justice versus Josh Bishop. They were the first two in the chamber. And if you know their history, it is very much like a fight forever type scenario. Their rivalry to me is that of like Steen versus Generico, or like CM Punk versus Chris Hero, or like Warhorse versus J. Why am I Gary J. Geez, I blanked on his name for a second. Warhorse versus Gary J. Another big one that went all over the country. So this was a great match, and Kojima pinned Richard Holiday with a, I believe, with after hitting a lariato for the 1-2-3. So Team Cozy Max and SGC win the War Chamber on, part, I guess technically part one of MLW War Chamber, the show that we've actually seen so far up to this point. And then, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, these are going to be MLW War Chamber 2 spoilers, which were taped the same night but will air on April 20th. So on 420, you'll get to see War Chamber 2. And that'll be available for free on YouTube. And here are the results. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Okay, here we go. We have Zeta over Sophie Castillo. Star Jr. over Virus. Bret Ryan Gosselin over Bud Heavy. Matt Riddle over Timothy Thatcher. I bet that was a really great technical matchup. We have the MLW World Tag Team titles on the line. World Titan Federation, the team of Tom Lawler and Davey Boy Jr., defeat the Bumae Fight Club team of Alex Kane and Mr. Thomas. We've got Satoshi Kojima over Bad Dude Tito to retain the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. That's pretty wild. Bad Dude comes in, has a couple matches, gets like a total squash, gets a title shot, but Kojima retains that belt, which I like to see. I like to see Kojima with the title a little bit longer. And, this is a little off topic, but I just is what it is. Like Bad Dude Tito, I've seen him in a few different promotions. I've seen him most notably as like a regular at Bloodsport. I just don't think the name Bad Dude Tito, like that has like a that whole name has like a ceiling to it, I think, just for what it's worth. I know that's nitpicking, and like at the end of the day, the talent's gonna shine one way or another, kind of regardless of what your name is. But I just feel like the name Bad Dude Tito just kind of like pigeonholes you in a way. So just for whatever that's worth. And then the main event of the show, we have the other War Chamber match, which was the Death Fighters, the team of Akira, Jake Chris, Jimmy Lloyd, and Raven. They defeat the Calling team of Cannonball, Ricky Shane Page, Sami Callihan, and Talon. On night one of the War Chamber, the Calling had beat up Akira backstage. And of course, Death Fighters get their revenge here. So looking forward to seeing that when it airs on YouTube. That'll be for free on the main YouTube channel for MLW. To search Major League Wrestling, and you can watch MLW War Chamber right there when it's available on 420. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on March 29th. I always watch them on Hulu, so that's where I'd recommend checking the show out. We had three matches, and these are the results. Started off with Lash Legend and Jakar Jackson over Carly Bright and Kendall Gray in a tag team match. The finish here was a cutter from Jackson for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Javon Evans over Scripps. This was really good. Javon Evans, I've been a fan of from his indie work. I got to see him live in Atlanta a handful of times before he got signed to WWE. And he was known as Jay Malachi then. I got to see him at BattleSlam quite a bit and some other shows in the Atlanta area. Super talented. He's going viral with like a lot of the stuff he's doing. Hitting crazy moves, really nice sunset flips. But really innovative. He does like these cool like barrel rolls off the top rope and stuff. But he gets the win over Scripps, and a big W for him. The finish here was basically OTM helps Scripps avoid some attacks, and then Jada distracts the referee. But while Scripps is like trying to take advantage of the situation, Javon rolls him up for the 1-2-3. And as I said before, I think Javon Evans has a massively bright future in the WWE system. And then the main event of the show, we had Hank Walker and Tank Ledger over Tyreek Eakwe and Tyson DuPont. So Eakwe and DuPont lose to Ledger and Walker in the best of three series. Ledger and Walker get the series W 2-1. The finish here was basically on the outside, we had DuPont and Ledger like double clothesline one another to take each other out of the match. And then in the ring, Walker and Eakwe both hit each other with punches and knock each other out at the same time. But Walker falls on top of Eakwe to get the 1-2-3. So super evenly matched best of three series. And it literally comes down to just who fell on top of who, basically by chance. Really good stuff. And a good way to establish all four of these guys as two really solid tag teams going forward for Level Up and for the main NXT roster. And then who knows, maybe the main roster, you know. So check out Level Up. If you want more thoughts on Level Up, me and Jeremy actually talked a bit about the former Brogan Finley, Uriah Connors, his match that he had last week against Eddie Thorpe. We talked about that quite a bit. And I talked about it last week on The Weekender, but another really solid episode of NXT Level Up. If you go into that show, as I always say, if you go into the show with the right expectations, I think that show actually exceeds expectations pretty often, especially if people are checking it out for the first time or maybe not regular viewers. You get some really good stuff on there. So moving on, we have spoilers. So spoiler alert, spoiler alert. These are going to be Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers. Make sure to put my timestamp in here for y'all. Sorry if you hear a little bit of typing in the microphone. I try to do my best to drown that out, but sometimes it's impossible. So if you want to remain spoiler free on Ring of Honor, go ahead and fast forward to where you see the timestamps in the description below the audio you're listening to here on FightfulSelect.com. These are Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers, first from Wednesday and then from last night. The first set of results I've got from Wednesday, from March 27th, from Quebec City, is courtesy of Pat Laprade, Laprade, Laprade. I'm not sure how you pronounce Pat's last name, but thank you very much to Pat for giving the spoilers, and then Jeremy uploaded them for Fightful.com. So they're courtesy of Pat, but I'm reading them via Fightful.com. Spoilers start off with Nyla Rose over Kat Von Hees. Dark Order, the team of John Silver and Evil Uno, they defeat Frank Milano and Zach Patterson. We've got Action Andretti and Top Flight, the team of Darius and Dante Martin, over KPK, the team of Ahmed, Haroon, and Abu. And then we've got Kyle Fletcher over Blake Christian. That match was probably awesome. Of course, Blake Christian, the current GCW champion, we'll talk about him a little bit later for the collective, but I bet that match was an absolute banger. So those are the spoilers for the first set of Ring of Honor tapings. And then the second set we have courtesy of cagematch.net. These are from last night. So these will be airing on April 4th, but they were taped on March 30th. Once again, courtesy of cagematch.net. We've got Shane Taylor Promotions, the team of Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. They defeat Julian Ward and Kaz Jordan. We've got Lee Johnson over Nick Camarado. We've got Abaddon over Nova. So, some good matches there. I'd like to see more out of Lee Moriarty, like, just in general. I've always been a big fan of his, and he had a lot of momentum on the indies. He's doing good stuff with Shane Taylor Promotions, and I'm glad he's, like, found, like, something, you know, to do, and I like Shane Taylor. I've always liked him. I've always thought he was a bit of a gem for Ring of Honor the last, like, few years before the purchase of Ring of Honor by Tony Khan. But Lee Moriarty, I've always said, like, he would have fit like a glove in the Blackpool Combat Club, and, you know, but if they can continue his momentum and then maybe get him back more regular on AEW TV with Shane Taylor as a tag team, that'll be good. But I just want to see more out of Lee in general. And then, as I mentioned before, Blake Christian versus Kyle Fletcher going to be a banger. So that's going to be all of the spoilers for Ring of Honor this week. Go ahead and timestamp that real quick. And that is all the spoilers for this episode of The Weekender. So from here on out, we are doing previews and predictions. So I'm going to start off letting y'all know. GCW, The Collective, 2024. It is the same weekend as WrestleMania weekend. It is this upcoming weekend, April 4th through 6th. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The shows start on Thursday. I say weekend, but technically it all starts on Thursday. These are all the shows we've got. We've got Thursday, April 4th, we got 11 a.m. Defy Wrestling, 4 p.m. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, 8 p.m. DDT Pro Wrestling, and then right around midnight, we got GCW and JCW vs. The World. On Friday, April 5th, we've got Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling, Progress Wrestling, Joe Janela Spring Break 8, and For the Culture. And then Saturday, April 6th, we've got Effie's Big Day Brunch at 11. We've got JCW versus TJPW at 2:30, and then around midnight we have Joe Janela Spring Break. The Cluster. Well, I'm gonna curse. I'm gonna assume that everybody. Well, Cluster F. We'll just call it the Cluster F in case there are younger listeners on the show. We got Joe Janela Spring Break, Cluster F Forever. So, one that's 11 shows from Thursday through Saturday night, technically into Sunday. And, yeah, very, very much looking forward to this. This is the biggest weekend in all of independent wrestling, and just all wrestling in general, of course, obviously, with WrestleMania and everything that comes along with that. The first show we've got on the list here is Defy Wrestling. I believe this is Defy's first time they've been a part of the Collective. I think Defy, Progress, and Joshi Pro, I think, are all new to the Collective this year, which is cool to see that that continues. Continues to build, and they continue to branch out with more and more companies being involved in this. There was one year where it was like, or maybe one or two years, but there was one year where the Collective was like, it was like IWTV and GCW all together, which was awesome. I don't remember if they called it. They had like IWTV Showcase of the Indies. I guess it was a separate event. They may have done a cross promotion one year, but Showcase of the Indies also. Anyway. I love independent wrestling. Y'all know that. You're listening to the show, obviously. So starting off, we have Defy Wrestling's Can't Deny It. This is April 4th at 11 a.m. The matches announced are a BMF Battle Royal where Schaff, Luke Jacobs, Jelano Del Mal, and Gene Money are already announced, but we don't know who else is going to be involved in that. We've got a three-way dance for the Defy Women's Championship. It'll be Vert Vixen defending her title against Trish Adora and, I believe, a mystery opponent that hasn't been announced yet. We've got a Trios three-way match where the Sovereign, the team of Evan Rivers, Judas Icarus, and Travis Williams are going to take on Dragon Gate's team of Shun Skywalker, Ben Kay, and Ho-Ho Lun. Man, I remember Ho-Ho Lun from the Cruiserweight Classic. To be fair, he was the worst wrestler in the Cruiserweight Classic, but he's gotten a lot better. He had some like GCW stints like within the last couple years where he definitely improved. We have C4XCK, team of Cody Chun and Guillermo Rosas and Casey Navarro. So that'll be a three-way trios dance. We got CCK, the team of Kid Lykos and Chris Brooks, taking on Moonlight Express, the team of Mao and Speedball Mike Bailey. And then we've got the Defy championship on the line. Kenta defending his title against Gringo Loco. Really looking forward to that show. Every match on there looks like a banger. I'm especially looking forward to seeing Speedball and Mao team up again. And, of course, Kenta versus Gringo Loco. And I could see Gringo maybe even becoming the Defy champion in that one. But my official prediction there is going to be Kenta to retain. After that, we've got Josh Barnett's Bloodsport 10. This is April 4th at 4 p.m. And these are the matchups. We've got a one-night four-woman tournament between Jhenai Kai, Marina Shafir, Lady Frost, and Lindsay Snow. We've got Eric Hammer versus Lou Nixon, Minoru Suzuki versus Horace Isaacs. We've got Josh Barnett versus Johnny Bloodsport, a.k.a. John Hennigan, a.k.a. Johnny Everything, you know who I'm talking about. Morrison is probably his most well-known. We've got Nick Nemeth versus Speedball Mike Bailey, Matt Mikowski versus Akira, Timothy Thatcher versus Axel Tischer. Axel is the former Alexander Wolf from WWE. We have Abe versus Nomura and Shayna Baszler versus Masha Slamovich. Really, really looking forward to Bloodsport. Of all the cards this weekend, outside of course WrestleMania itself with Cody being involved, of course, I'd say this is probably the show, either this or the two spring break shows that are the ones I'm looking the most forward to for the whole weekend. If you're not familiar with Bloodsport, it's essentially like an MMA hybrid type show where they do like the UWFI type style, old school, like work shoot matches where it's very, very, very mixed martial arts based. And they got a really good lineup. I'm always looking forward to seeing Josh Barnett, and Hennigan brings a different type of athleticism and training and stuff to this too. And he has an actual background. He's done some pro boxing, or at least, I don't know if you call it pro boxing. He was in Creator Clash. And he smoked his opponent, Harley from Epic Meal Time. Excuse me, Harley from Epic Meal Time. Who I respect. We had Nick Nemeth versus Speedball. I'm very looking forward to, especially to see Nemeth in that environment. We already know Speedball can thrive. Mikowski versus Akira is probably the match I'm looking the most forward to. Either that or Slamovich versus Baszler, obviously. So, as far as a little bit of predictions, I'm going to take Baszler over Masha. I'll take Thatcher over Axel. I'll take Mikowski over Akira. I'll take Speedball over Nemeth. Well, I think Nemeth's actually going to probably win that one. I'll take Barnett over Bloodsport, Suzuki over Isaacs. So, as far as the one-night tournament, four-women tournament, I love those matchups, too. Kai, Shafir, Frost, and Snow. I'm going to take Kai in that one. She's kind of the dark horse, because I think she was added, like, fairly late. But we'll see what happens there. I will look forward to Bloodsport. After that, we've got DDT Goes Philadelphia. This is April 4th at 8 p.m. We've got Daisuke Sasaki and Cannon taking on Masada and Nick Wayne. We've got Endo versus Andrew Everett. Takeshita versus Katsumata. That's going to be a banger. Great to see Takeshita doing some WrestleMania weekend stuff. We got CCK, Chris Brooks and Kid Lykos taking on Shota and Brian Keith. So cool to see Brian Keith, another AEW contracted wrestler, doing his thing on this show. We got Yuki Uno versus Speedball. We've got Kazuki Harada versus Yoshihiko. Anybody who takes up the challenge of Yoshihiko, Yoshihiko, for those of you who don't know, is an actual, like, life, it's like a life-size doll that, you know, it's basically someone wrestling themselves, but the Yoshihiko is so insanely over, and the matches are usually super entertaining, but it's all up to the person wrestling. So Harada, I very much expect to be able to pull it off, but I'm always looking forward to Yoshihiko matches. And then we have the No Rules match for the DDT Universal Championship, Mao defending the title against Billy Starks. So that'll be a banger. As far as a few predictions there, I'll say Mao retains over Billy. I'll take Yoshihiko over Harada. I'll take Speedball. Takeshita for sure. You know, it's going to be really good stuff. That's a banger of a card. Looking forward to seeing Nick Wayne. As I mentioned, we have Nick Wayne, Takeshita, and Brian Keith all on the show, and Billy Starks all on the show. We're all contracted by AEW. After that, we got GCW and JCW versus the World. This is April 4th around midnight. And I say around midnight, it says 11:59 p.m., but some of these shows, you never know what time they're going to actually start at. Some matches we have actually announced so far for this one. We have a four-way tag team match, which is Los Macizos, the team of Ciclope and Mater Extremo, versus Amboss, the team of Robert Dreisker and Lawrence Roman, and the team of Boisterous Behavior, the team of Manlike Therese and Leon Slater, and the team of Mal and Yoshihiko. I cannot wait for that one. That is going to be a fantastic four-way tag team match. We got Jordan Oliver versus Blanc. This is going to be really good. I can't wait to see more of Jordan Oliver because he's been on his excursion out of the country the last couple months, but I can't wait to see more of Jordan Oliver here in the States. We got the Garbage Daddies, Alec Price and Cole Radrick, as well as One Called Manders, taking on the Astronauts, a team of Abe and Nomura, as well as Rina Yamashita. Y'all know Cole Radrick and Alec Price, two of my favorites. Love Manders, love everyone involved in this one. Astronauts, one of the best tag teams that's like now finally doing some stuff in the States, and Yamashita, the ultraviolent champion for GCW, long running. We have Los Esperados, the team of Arez, Latigo, and Gringo Loco, taking on Team Dragon Gate, the team of Dragon Kid Yamato and Chun Skywalker. And then the main event of the show, we have the JCW World title on the line. Marshall Slamovich taking on Suri to defend her title. Suri, has been around forever. I remember a match between her and Asuka back when she was Kana like 10 years ago. And it's even more like more recent memory, like her versus Kairi Sane, her versus Julia. So really cool to see Suri. And honestly, I could see Suri winning. I just don't think that, especially with like her history of stardom and stuff, I don't know if she's going to be like available to JCW. So like, I'm going to take Slamovich to retain the title, but that's going to be a great match. I'm really looking forward to everything announced on this one. After that, we have TJPW live in Philly. This is Friday, April 5th at 11 a.m. We've got Hyper Maso versus Billy Starks, Shoko Nakajima versus Riho, Yuki Ano and Raku versus Yuki Kemafuki and Viva Van, Suzumi and Endo versus Kakuka and Zocker, Mizuki and Vert Vixen versus Maxi Impaler and Palm Harajuku, and Miyu Yamashita and Maki Ito versus Rika Tsumi and Miyu Watanabe. Some names I recognize, some names I don't. Either way, gonna be a banger. This is an all-women show. So for those of you who are fans of Joshi Wrestling, specifically, this is gonna be a card that you definitely want to check out. And if you're somebody like me who isn't as familiar with the Joshi scene as I am with most everything else, I look forward to watching these shows. It's a good change of pace. And of course, I mean, anything with Maki Ito, I'm going to be a fan of, right? The cutest in the world. MDK all up and day. After that, we got Progress Wrestling. This is Progress Wrestling Chapter 165. Freedom Walks Again. This is Friday, April 5th at 3 p.m. We've got a multi-man match. It says Simon Miller. Shout out to Simon Miller, who I believe is actually moving to the United States finally. I say finally. He's always been over in the UK ever since I've known about him, but it's cool he'll be over in the States soon. He's been doing more wrestling and more content and stuff here, which is cool. Simon Miller versus Leon Slater versus Gringo Loco versus a mystery opponent. We've got Spike Trivet versus Luke Jacobs, Session Moth Martina, and Gene Money versus Bussy, the team of Ally Catch and Effie. We've got the Progress Atlas Championship on the line. Ricky Knight Jr. defending against Yoshi. We've got a three-way tag match for the Progress World Tag Team titles. Little Cheeky Buggers, the team of Alexis Falcon and Charles Crawley. They defend their titles against Sunshine Machine, which is TK Cooper and Chuck Mambo, and Sanity, the team of Big Damo and Axel Tischer. So as I mentioned, Axel, the former Alexander Wolf, Big Damo, of course, the former, Killian Dane, I believe, in NXT. So reuniting their tag team there, which is cool. We got the Progress Women's Championship on the line, Riho defending against Lana Austin. And then the main event of the show, we have the Progress World title on the line, Kid Lykos defending against Man Like Darice. After that, we got Joey Janela's Spring Break 8. This is pretty much the WrestleMania event of the collective, in my opinion. This is the main show. This is going to be Friday, April 5th at 8 p.m., and these are the matchups. We've got Maki Ito and Nick Gage taking on Danhausen and Ram. Ram was the mystery, like, hand-chosen partner for Danhausen. I'll give predictions for all these. I'm going to take Ito and Gage. I'm going to take MDK in that one. We got an I Quit match where Effie takes on Mance Warner. I'm going to take Effie in that one, and I'll give you my... I've already given you my scenario of what I think is going to happen many times, but I'll go over it again for those who may not have heard it yet. But I'm going to say Effie beats Mance Warner in the I Quit match. I'm going to say we got Matt Cardona versus Blue Kane. I'm going to take Matt Cardona there. We got Gringo Loco versus Dralistico. I'm going to take Gringo Loco. We got East-West Express, the team of Jordan Oliver and Nick Wayne, along with Speedball Mike Bailey, taking on Rock and Roll Express of Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, and Kerry Morton. I'm going to take East-West and Speedball in that one. We got Dragon Gate Classic, the team of Yamato, Dragon Kid, and KZY. They're taking on the team of Shun Skywalker, Ben K, and Kota Minora. I'm going to take Dragon Gate Classic in that one. We've got Masato Tanaka and Minoru Suzuki taking on Rina Yamashita and Masha Slamovich. I love that matchup. Two absolute legends in Tanaka and Suzuki, and then two of like the best current day women in all of wrestling. Not even just women, just two of the best wrestlers in the world, in my opinion, right now. Especially when it comes to like the ultra-violent style and the deathmatch wrestling and stuff, just being badass women. Man, I'm really torn on this one. I think for the future of GCW, it'd be really cool to see Yamashita and Slamovich win that one. But I got to go with the legends here, Suzuki and Tanaka. And then the main event of the show, we have the GCW World Championship on the line, Blake Christian defending his title against Joey Janela. My prediction, as I've said many times leading up to this, is I think Joey Janela is going to defeat Blake Christian and win the GCW Championship. And then Mance Warner is going to come out and cash in his title shot that he won in the Rumble. And he will pin Joey Janela. He'll come out covered in blood after losing his I Quit match. And he will beat Joey Janela and leave Spring Break 8 as the GCW World Champion. That is my official prediction. Mance Warner will be the GCW Champion at the end of this weekend. Unless there's like another title match, you know, later this weekend, like on you know, Saturday or something, where he could potentially lose the title, I guess. But or maybe he wins the title that night at the Cluster F show. But I think Mance Warner leaves this weekend as the champion. After that, we got GCW for the Culture. This is Friday, April 5th. This will be around midnight. And for those of you who don't know, for the Culture is an event that really celebrates African American wrestlers in this. A great place to celebrate that and also to find new talent as well. We got Team Myron, the team of Myron Reed Ruckus, Darian Bengston, Devin Monroe, and Calvin Tankman, taking on Team Dala, the team of AJ Francis, Isaiah Broner, Keita Murray, Teriyaki, and Mr. Danger. We got the Ladies' Night Scramble match where Maya World takes on Jada Stone versus... it's Maya World versus Jada Stone versus Jocelyn Navarro versus Maserati, versus Janai Kai, versus Tiara James. We got a four-way tag team match where TME, the team of Cannon Jones Jr. and Duke Davis, take on Kings of the District, the team of Jordan Blade and Eel O'Neill, taking on Thick and Juicy 3.0, the team of Brooke Valentine and Faye Jackson, taking on the Killionaires Club of PB Smooth and Jay Bougie in a four-way match, or a four-way tag team match. We got Two Cold Scorpio versus frontman Ja C. The Pan-African World Diaspora Championship on the line, Shug D defending against Alex Kane. We got Man Like Darice taking on Sonny Kiss, and special referee Darius Lockhart for Billy Dixon versus Darius Carter. Very much looking forward to that one. Just a few things I'll throw out there. I'm actually going to take Alex Kane to win the Diaspora Championship from Shug D, a title that I believe only Trish Adora had held really, really long time before Shug D winning it. But I know Alex Kane and Shug D, really good friends in real life. And I know Shug D really wants to help continue to put over Alex Kane. So I'm going to go with Alex Kane in that one. But everything on here, bangers of a show. For the Culture, It, you know, since its inception, has been one of the best shows of the year each year, in my opinion. And it's always great to see guys like Too Cold Scorpio out there still showing out. After that, we got Effie's Big Gay Brunch 9. This is Saturday, April 6th at 11 a.m. This show celebrates the LGBTQ plus community of wrestling, and also a very, very look forward to event every year from the whole wrestling community. We got a four-way match where it's Mono Moth versus Aaron Rourke versus Rico Gonzalez versus Devin Moreau. We got Team Polo, Pollo versus Team Pero, which is going to be Karam, Ron Bass Jr., Alex Mays, and Don't Die Miles, and a mystery partner taking on Pero, Kyoto Murray, Angelo Carter, Junie Underwood, and Adriel Noctis. We've got Jamie Lynn Senegal and Edith Surreal taking on The Runway, the team of Calvin Kattor and Tyler Klein. We've got Max the Impaler taking on a mystery opponent, Dark Sheik taking on Sunny Kiss, GCW Ultra Violent Championship on the line, Rina Yamashita taking on Billy Dixon, and Bussy, the team of Alley Catch and Effie, taking on Dirty Breeze, the team of Dirty Dango and Breeze, Tyler Breeze. I'm gonna say Dirty Breeze actually beats Bussy in that one, in somewhat of an upset. I'm gonna say Yamashita retains the Ultra Violent Championship over Billy Dixon. We're looking forward to that one though. Should be another great show. That four-way match that I said to open it, I think I'll take Rico Gonzalez in that one, and I think Rico's gonna have a lot of eyes on him coming out of this weekend. After that, we got GCW versus TJPW. This show is Saturday, April 6th at 2:30 p.m. These are the matches. We got Suzumi versus Palm Harajuku. We got Session Moth Martina versus Raku. Dark Sheik versus Yuki Kamifuku. We got Steph DeLander versus Hyper Misao. Shaza McKenzie versus Endo. Alley Catch and a mystery partner versus Mizuki and Kakuta. Billy Starks and Jinai Kai taking on Tatsumi and Watanabe. And the main event of the show, we have Rina Yamashita, Masha Slamovich, and Maki Ito taking on Miyu Yamashita, Shoku Nakajima, and Yuki Ano. And then the last show we've got is Joey Janela's Spring Break Cluster F Forever. This is Saturday, April 6th, around midnight. For my guess is this show won't start until like 1 in the morning at the earliest, but they're shooting for midnight. I respect it. All we know about this one so far is there's going to be the 88-man Cluster F, and so far Dink is announced and the American Giant is announced. So they've announced one of the smallest wrestlers available and the largest wrestler available, most likely, because the American Giant is humongous. Don't really have a prediction for that one up to this point. I mean, the Invisible Man has won the Cluster F. One time, like just like the women collectively won that Cluster F. I think there's been no winner before. I think I anyway, it's super random who's gonna win these things. I think Spider Nate Webb won one year. Anyways, who knows? And then we have the Punjabi Prison match, which is gonna be amazing. For the GCW World Tag Team titles, we have Violence is Forever, Kevin Koo and Dominic Greeny defending their titles against Jacob and Zilla Fatu, the Bollywood Boys, and Los Mestizos, it's the team of Mato Extremo and Ciclope. I'm gonna go VIF to retain here. I'm a little biased there, but I think the VIF should definitely continue their run as GCW World Champion. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to Punjabi Prison. I know Kevin Koo specifically is. He's been tweeting about it. And yeah, I love all four of these tag teams, so this is gonna be incredible. And I'm very much looking forward to the entire GCW Collective weekend. That's all going to be available, by the way, over on Triller TV Plus. All right, moving on. Got some quick predictions for WWE WrestleMania. We got Night 1 and Night 2, of course. And, you know, we don't know what all is going to be on which night for the most part, but I'll give you my predictions for what we know up to this point and what we know will be featured over the weekend. Obviously, I'm heavily invested in the concept of Cody Rhodes becoming the WWE champion at the end of the show, Universal WWE Undisputed Champion, whatever you want to call him. But I'm gonna give you my full predictions right now. If you want more detailed predictions and even more hype up for this, as I mentioned at the top of the show, this Thursday on the Spotlight, excuse me, myself and Jeremy, well, we'll preview the show more, and we'll have an interview with Teal Rhodes, Cody's sister, the daughter of Mama Rhodes, right there on the spotlight for you guys to watch and listen to. As far as the matches that I've got in front of me, I'm going to give you my predictions right now for what I've got. We've got LWO, the team of Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio, taking on Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. I mean, I'd like to see Dirty Dom get the win, personally, but I'm going to take LWO in that one. I'm going to say that Dragon Lee or Rey Mysterio pin... Well, I'll say Rey Mysterio pin Santos Escobar. We got Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi taking on Damage Control, the team of Asuka, Dakota Kai, and Kairi Sane. I'm going to take the team of Cargill, Naomi, and Bianca in that one. And it's great to see Jade finally like a regular member of the WWE roster. I've been a Jade Cargill fan since day one of her in AEW, and I've met her in real life, and she lives near me in Atlanta. She's just, she seems super cool, super nice. I've seen her at Hawks games and stuff. Like, I'm a huge Jade Cargill fan, and I'm a huge fan of all the women in that match. I think it's going to be great. We got the United States Championship on the line in a triple threat. Logan Paul defending against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. I'm going to say Logan Paul actually retains here and continues to be U.S. champion. We got Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. I'm going to go with Jey. We got LA Knight versus AJ Styles. My mind is saying LA Knight. My heart is saying AJ. I can't go against AJ in this. I just can't. I'm going to take AJ Styles, although the smart money's probably on LA Knight, but I got to go AJ. And AJ is teasing he might have a new theme song as well, even though I love his current one by DMX. But to him, it sounds like it's just time for a change with his new character and everything. We've got the Judgment Day, the team of Finn Balor and... Well, sorry, this is a six-pack challenge ladder match with Undisputed WWE Tag Titles. We got the Judgment Day, Finn Balor and Damian Priest going into the match of the champions against DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, The Awesome Truth, The Miz and R-Truth, New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, A-Town Down, the team of Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, and New Catch Republic, the team of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. I'm going to say The Miz and R-Truth become the tag team champions here. That also frees up Damian Priest to no longer be a tag team champion when he's ready to cash in that money in the bank, even though at this point he shouldn't even have the briefcase. And honestly, he should probably just lose his title opportunity or challenge for like the U.S. title or something, like Austin Theory did with it. That's just my personal opinion. But I'm going to say Awesome Truth become the tag team champions here. We got Gunther taking on Sami Zayn, defending his Intercontinental title. I'm going to say, once again, I hope Gunther retains here. Sami Zayn does not need the rub of being the one to beat Gunther. And I think we're going to have another long-term title reign ended with Roman Reigns, night two. So I'm going to say Gunther retains here over Sami Zayn. We got the World Women's title on the line, Rhea Ripley defending against Becky Lynch. I'm going to say Rhea Ripley retains here as well. At least I'm personally hoping that that's the case. I want to see Rhea continue on with the championship. We got Io Sky defending the WWE Women's Championship against Bayley. Personally, I'd like to see Io retain, but I'm going to go Bayley in this one. I think it just makes more sense with the story, and both women obviously rule, and it's time for Bayley to be the champion again, I guess. I mean, it just makes sense at this point for her to be the champion. And then we know night one, we've got the Bloodline, the team of The Rock and Roman Reigns, taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Of course, the stipulation being if the Bloodline wins, the night two for Cody and Roman is Bloodline rules. If Cody and Seth win, then it's a straight-up one-on-one match, no interference. I'm going to say that The Rock pins Cody Rhodes night one, hands Mama Rhodes the bloody weight belt, and night two is Bloodline rules. Also, for night two, we know that we're going to have Seth freaking Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. I think Drew McIntyre should absolutely win the world title in that one. I think Drew's doing the best work of his entire career. And if Cody Rhodes wasn't in the WWE, Drew McIntyre would be my favorite wrestler. So I'm going to say Drew becomes the world champion. Maybe Damian Priest gets involved in this one or something. I don't know. I definitely don't want to see him get involved in anything that has to do with Cody or Roman, which is the last thing I'll talk about here. We got Roman Reigns defending the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship against Cody Rhodes. My prediction is that the Bloodline gets heavily involved, but friends of Cody Rhodes, whether it's, you know, Seth Rollins, who of course helped him night one, or it's, you know, other guys from like the Bloodline history's past, like Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, I think Cody's going to have his people ready to fight off the Bloodline. And then when the numbers get too overwhelming, you might see, you know, Rikishi come out. You might see other members of the Bloodline that we haven't seen yet, like Zilla Fatu, Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, maybe that kind of stuff. And I think that we'll have maybe guys like John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, like the babyface faces of the company's past, helping clear the path for Cody and, like, officially passing the torch and anointing him as the new top babyface of the company going forward. And I'd set it on the spotlight. Who knows? Maybe MJF will even show up. Who knows? But I'm going to say Cody Rhodes defeats Roman Reigns, finishes the story, wins the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship, and then WrestleMania ends with him handing that championship to his mom, and maybe even he brings back the old WWF Winged Eagle Championship title belt, because remember, he brought back the old white strap IC title belt when he was Intercontinental Champion back in the day. I think maybe he brings back the Winged Eagle title, holds it up for the crowd, hands it to his mom. Maybe he unveils the new Winged Eagle title on Monday the next night, Raw after Mania, who knows. But either way, Cody Rhodes leads WrestleMania as the champion. Cody Rhodes finishes the story night two of WrestleMania. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I'm Steven Jensen. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on Twitter at @FightTalk_. Please watch the spotlight. As I said before, we're giving away Wrestle Rumble stuff this Thursday. We're giving away a book this Thursday. And we got an interview with Teal Rhodes this Thursday. YouTube.com/Fightful, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time every single Thursday. So please join us. The next time you guys are going to hear me right here on this show is going to be next Monday. So enjoy the collective. Enjoy WrestleMania. Until next Monday, enjoy some professional wrestling. Cody Rhodes, finish the story.